Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining me on the English program. I'm Linda Bordoni, and here's a taste of what we'll be talking about today. Pope Benedict XVI celebrates Mass for the sick in Lourdes and reminds them that there are struggles that cannot be sustained without the help of divine grace. Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor speaks of his particular fondness and feeling for Lourdes. And we listen to the sixth and last episode of The Bernadette Story, the English programme's radio drama that tells the story of the apparitions of Our Lady in Lourdes. Pope Benedict XVI is resting in his summer residence in Castel Gandolfo after an intense four-day apostolic journey to France. The pilgrimage that initially took him to Paris, where he met with church and state authorities, ended Monday at the Marian Sanctuary of Lourdes, where he also marked the 150th anniversary of the apparitions of Our Lady to Bernadette Soubirous. The Mass on Monday was a particularly moving event, during which he anointed 10 very ailing pilgrims in front of the Basilica of the Rosary. Unfortunately, he said, "We know only too well that the endurance of suffering can upset life's most stable equilibrium. It can shake the firmest foundations of confidence, and sometimes even leads people to despair the meaning and value of life. There are struggles," Pope Benedict said, "that we cannot sustain alone without the help of divine grace." But now, for more on the Mass and on the apostolic journey to France, Philippa Hitchin, who travelled with the Pope, brings us this report.
From tears to smiles, from suffering to solace. That was the essence of Pope Benedict's homily at a very moving Mass for the sick in front of the Basilica in Lourdes on Monday morning. Tens of thousands of pilgrims gathered with the Pope and other church leaders from around the world for this last event of his four-day pilgrimage to France, a visit which bishops here hope will reawaken a new sense of faith and encourage greater cooperation between religious and secular institutions. After being welcomed by President Sarkozy and meeting with political, religious and cultural representatives in Paris on Friday, the Pope travelled down here to the Marian Shrine at Lourdes, where he walked the Jubilee Way, marking the 150th anniversary of the apparitions of Our Lady to the young girl Bernadette Soubirous. Visiting the parish church where she was baptized, the small damp room where she lived with her family in poverty, the chapel where she made her first communion, and the rocky grotto where Our Lady appeared to her a total of 18 times, the Pope underlined the very contemporary message of this most popular place of pilgrimage, that God's love is shown to us often through the weakest and most rejected members of society.
Les intentions que nous apportons souligne notre profonde communion avec tous les êtres qui souffrent.
Far from the false idols of our consumer culture, the message of faith is shown through those who may be materially poor, sick or suffering, yet who feel themselves richly blessed with spiritual gifts.
La haine et les oppressions, des atteintes à leur dignité humaine, à leurs droits fondamentaux, à leur liberté d'agir et de penser.
At first sight, this small town at the foot of the Pyrenees with its flashing neon signs and rows of shops selling all kinds of kitsch souvenirs seems an impossibly far cry from the spiritual message of Marian devotion. Yet a short walk down to the river by the grotto, where crowds gather each day in prayer, and the baths where those suffering all kinds of physical and mental illnesses come to wash in the waters of the nearby spring, reveals an entirely different face. In some mysterious way, the quiet and prayerful atmosphere of this place helps many people to step back from the hectic pace of their daily lives and put problems into a different perspective. In a very visible way, the disabilities and deformities of some of the sickest pilgrims, wrapped in blankets on stretchers or huddled in the distinctive blue wheelchairs pulled by volunteers, enable others to accept more easily their own forms of pain and anxiety. From tears to smiles. From the tears of Mary, the distraught mother at the foot of the cross, where her son was dying a tortured, humiliating death, to her beatific smile, revealed to Bernadette, and so perfectly captured by medieval artists, as the Pope recalled in his homily on Monday.
Les chrétiens ont-ils depuis toujours quitté le sourire de Notre-Dame? Ce sourire que les artistes au Moyen-Âge ont su prodigieusement représenter et mettre en valeur. Ce sourire de Marie est pour tous.
Mary's smile is that of a loving mother to her child, he said, but it's especially directed to those who suffer so that they can find solace therein. When words no longer suffice, as was seen so poignantly in the face of the previous Pope who made his last earthly pilgrimage here in 2004, that loving smile can offer some serenity and strength to face even the worst torments of pain, bereavement, and death.
Je souhaiterais donc dire humblement à ceux qui souffrent et à ceux qui luttent sont tentés de tourner le dos à la vie, tournez-vous vers Marie. Dans le sourire de la Vierge se trouve mystérieusement cachée la force de poursuivre le combat contre la maladie et pour la vie.
During the Mass, the Pope anointed a number of sick pilgrims, elderly men and women in wheelchairs, and younger people who stood in line to receive the sacrament that Bernadette herself received four times during the course of her short and sickly life.
Through his holy anointing, may the Lord in his love and mercy help you with the grace of the Holy Spirit. May the Lord who frees you from sin save you and raise you up.
Finally, Pope Benedict also had words of thanks and encouragement for all healthcare workers, doctors, nurses, carers and volunteers who look after the sick and bring so many of them on pilgrimage here to Lourdes each year.
J'adresse un salut affectueux à toutes les personnes.
To them, he said, you are the arms of the servant church. And that is the other striking feature of this town, something that President Sarkozy described as the miracle of compassion that is to be found in all the hospices, clinics and care homes that have grown up around this shrine. Volunteers of all ages and every nationality making their own pilgrimages here in a spirit of service and sharing with others. It's a place which attracts and fascinates every believer, as the Pope noted before heading back to Rome on Monday, a place which charms but also challenges us in a very profound way.
Comme une lumière dans l'obscurité de nos tâtonnements vers Dieu, Marie y a ouvert une porte vers un au-delà qui nous interroge et nous séduit. Maria porta cieli.
The Pope's pilgrimage here was aimed at galvanizing the Church in France to encourage Catholics to play a more positive and courageous role in this very secular society. But his words and the message of this shrine at Lourdes is a call to each one of us to reassess the priorities of our lives, to be open to our Lord's voice, even in the most unexpected places, and to give generously in the service of others. In Lourdes, with Pope Benedict, I'm Philippa Hitchin.
Well, thanks there to Philippa Hitchin, who spoke to many of those present in Lourdes during these intense days. Amongst them, Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor, Archbishop of Westminster and President of the Bishops' Conference of England and Wales.
Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor, Lourdes is a very special place for you, isn't it?
Well, it is. I grew up with Lourdes. My father, who was a doctor, came to Lourdes every year as the doctor on the national pilgrimage from England. So I always remember him going off and coming back and going to bed for a couple of days. He was so tired. But he loved Lourdes, so he went regularly until the last years of his life. My mother often went with him as well. So I've always had a feeling for Lourdes. And then when I was ordained a priest, I went once. And I never really had much chance of going after that until I became a bishop. And so I came every year with the Diocese of Arundel and Brighton, and we had a wonderful pilgrimage. And it was a kind of, for me, it was a sort of retreat. For 5 days we were here. You prayed, you reflected, you were with the diocese in miniature, asking for the prayers of Our Lady, especially for the sick, but also for the deepening of the faith of the people of the diocese.
When you first came here, what do you remember most? What first struck you here?
I suppose it was the sick, really, and their cheerfulness and their patience and their faith, and how much I had to learn from Lord. Not what I was giving, which was very little indeed, but what I learned from Lord was something of perseverance and faith, that suffering has, in a mysterious way, part of the mystery of God's providence for humankind. That was number one. And then when I came out here, I saw how I used to bring a lot of young people, 200 or 300 young people every year, and for young people, it's like finding another lung. Suddenly, young people who would come found that a new understanding and enthusiasm for the gospel, because they prayed, they were together with other young people who shared the same faith, and also they looked after the sick, and in the midst of it all they experienced great joy. That for them was revelation, and so it was lovely to be with them. So it was lovely to be here. The last time I was here, of course I come every year, but I was here for the last visit into Lourdes of Pope John Paul, so I was here for that, and now to be here with Pope Benedict is a great privilege.
That visit in 2004 was particularly poignant, wasn't it, with Pope John Paul himself, such a sick man.
He was very sick, and there was a sense of him saying farewell to Lourdes and asking for the prayers of Our Lady, knowing perhaps that before very long he would be on his last journey to the Lord.
Pope Benedict here, as you say, really issuing a call, galvanising young people to give themselves generously to the Lord, to listen to his call. What impact can his words have here?
The reason why I wasn't in our diocesan pilgrimage this year, because I was in Australia, the World Youth Day, and I thought the Holy Father's words there were again telling young people, inviting young people to live their faith, and that it brings them truth as well as joy. And he's doing the same here, really, that he's saying to young people, don't be afraid that you have something to witness to, something to give to our society today. And I think in many of the Holy Father's speeches, he talks about, especially talks about Europe, and recall your heritage and how the Holy Spirit worked in times past and is working now, and that the good news of the gospel is new, and new for young people, and to accept it joyfully and bravely.
Although he's marking this 150th anniversary of the apparitions here, it is, as you say, a very contemporary message, isn't it, for people today?
Very contemporary, because the way in which he emphasises the basic tenets, if you like, of our spirituality, which is to put ourselves in faith before God and following the way of Jesus Christ, and to live that out in today's world, believing, a world that's looking for hope, a world that's looking for meaning, a world that in many ways frustrated. And what Pope Benedict does so beautifully, I think, in so many of his homilies and his teaching, is saying there is hope, there is meaning, and it's found in the message and in the truth of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose again, and by his Spirit is with us still, holding out the message of God's victory over sin and death, and God's promise of eternal life, with glimpses of it here on earth.
This shrine and this message is particularly destined for Catholics in today's world, but it's a message that goes beyond that. It even has quite a profound ecumenical significance, doesn't it?
Yes, I understand. I was just hearing that the Archbishop of Canterbury and 400 or 500 Anglican friends are coming here next week, and for them too, they love Our Lady. I used to be co-president of ARCIC, the Anglican Roman Catholic Commission, and among the many papers that we produced together, one on Mary, and how from times past we have a reflection of Mary. So many churches in England, Anglican as well as Catholic, are entitled St. Mary's. She's remembered all over our country, and so Mary's prayers can help in the ecumenical endeavour too.
That was Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor, Archbishop of Westminster and President of the Bishops' Conference of England and Wales. And now we listen to the sixth and last episode of the radio drama, The Bernadette Story. The play was written by our colleague Jill Bevilacqua and was produced by Sean Patrick Lovett. It tells the story of Saint Bernadette, the 14-year-old peasant girl in Lourdes, to whom Our Lady appeared 18 times during the year 1858. The episode today tells of how the priest in Lourdes is finally convinced of the veridicity of Bernadette's story, and of how Bernadette herself becomes a nun and dies in her early 30s.
The whole thing's getting beyond a joke. It's not just the villagers now, they're coming from all over. Oh, it's a scandal. If I were in charge...
Well, I tell you one thing. I was talking to Dutour yesterday.
Who? The Imperial Prosecutor?
Yes, he's sending a delegation to Peyramale, the parish priest. He's counting on the church to put a stop to it.
And about time, too. It's the church's business.
Peyramale, eh? They've got their work cut out there.
He's a real tough character.
So, you're the one who goes to the grotto, are you?
Yes, Reverend Father.
And you say you see the Blessed Virgin?
I didn't say she was the Blessed Virgin.
Well, then who is she, this lady?
I don't know.
You don't know? Liar! And yet the newspapers say, all the people you make run after them say that you say it is the Blessed Virgin. Well, then, what is it you see?
Something that looks like a lady.
Something?
If you please, Reverend Father, the lady asks for people to go in procession to the grotto.
Procession? How do you expect me to order a procession? It's for the bishop to decide. And when does she want this procession? The day after tomorrow, you said?
The day after tomorrow? I don't think she said a special day. I'm not sure.
You're not sure, are? Are you sure about the procession?
Oh, yes.
Lady, procession. And is that all the lady wants from me? Just a procession?
Yes. I mean, no. She said she would also like...
You mean yes or no? Do you know what you mean? You'd better make your mind up.
I remember now. The lady said to tell the priests to have a chapel built. Here, in this place.
A chapel too? Are you quite sure of that?
Oh, yes, Reverend Father. Quite sure. Just a little chapel. A simple one.
And have you got the money for this chapel?
No, Reverend Father.
Neither have I. You tell your lady she'd better give it to you. And now off with you.
Yes, Reverend Father.
Wait a minute. Did the lady tell you her name?
No, Reverend Father.
Well then, if your lady wants a chapel, she must tell you her name. And tell her that the parish priest wants her to make the rose bush at the grotto bloom. Then we'll build a chapel. And it won't be little, it'll be very big. Now off with you. Go, go, get out.
Leave her alone.
Well, all right. Give me them all and I'll touch them if that's what you want.
Yes, take this, please.
No. Oh, please. But I can't. Just move back a bit.
Don't touch mine.
Don't touch her.
Oh, dear. But please, I can't breathe.
Just look what you're doing to
her. Oh, dear. What am I supposed to do? I'm not a priest.
Keep away. Get away. Please go away. Look, can't you see what you're doing to her?
I'll touch them with the rosary that I take down to the grotto.
Have the rosary. I'll buy the rosary. How much do you want? How much
Keep
do you want?
Your hands off her.
No, please, not money. No, take it away. I don't want it. No, I'm not selling my rosary. And I'm not giving it away either.
I'll pay anything.
Mother!
Please! Please go away! Can't you see what you're doing to her?
Please tell them to go away!
Get out! Get out!
March 25th, 1858. My Lord Bishop. People coming from far and wide talk of miracles, healing, whether we should intervene. If Your Excellency thinks... What?
I am the Immaculate Conception.
Huh? What? You are a lady cannot have such a... You're mistaken. Do you know what that means?
No.
Then how can you say it if you don't understand?
I've been repeating it all the way from the grotto. She still wants the chapel.
Listen. Go home now. I'll see you another day. Go now. Go.
Father.
Go. Holy Virgin. Immaculate Conception. Forgive me.
Today, my dear brethren, instead of a sermon, we have the Bishop's pastoral letter from Monseigneur Lawrence, Bishop of Lourdes and Tarbes, 18th of January, 1862. And so we hold that the Immaculate Mother of God did indeed appear to Bernadette.
In the parlor, the Bishop Mother General.
I'm coming. Goodbye, Holy Mother.
Why do you come down here, sister?
I like it. Our Lady of the Waters reminds me of Lourdes. The grotto there was my heaven.
Lourdes. Oh, so you're Bernadette, then?
Yes, I'm Bernadette. Well, come on, sister. We can't keep the Bishop waiting.
Oh, no. Oh, dear. But tell me, sister... Why did you come to the convent here?
To hide. They used to show me off like cattle at a fair. After all, I'm no one. I'm just a broom in the hands of the Virgin Mary. What do you do with the broom when you've finished using it? You put it away behind the door. Well, that's my place, and that's where I'm staying.
And so what do we do with her now she's professed, my lord? We can't send her anywhere.
She's good for nothing.
Come in!
You sent for me, Mother General?
The bishop, sister.
So, Sister Marie Bernard, they tell me you are good for nothing. Is that true?
Oh, yes. It's true. I told you in Lourdes, Monsignor, and you said it didn't matter.
So what shall we do with you, my poor child?
Of course, Monsignor, if you agree, we could keep her at the mother house and give her some kind of work in the infirmary, like cleaning and preparing drinks for the sick. As she's always ill, it would be the right job for her.
Can you do that? Prepare drinks? Clean vegetables?
I'll do my best.
Very well. That will do very well.
Is that all, my lord?
You may go now, sister.
Just one moment. There is one thing. I give you the job of prayer.
Since I married, so I thought I'd come down and have a look at the grotto for old time's sake. But it's all so different. All these people, this great church.
Yes, Church of the Immaculate Conception. I was here when they opened it a long time ago.
The Immaculate Conception, just like the lady said to Bernadette. Was she here?
No, she hasn't been back for years.
Oh, strange, isn't it? Whoever would have thought? Remember the first time we came down here, and Bernadette running so fast.
Poor Bernadette. What a time they gave her.
Oh, yes. Look over there. Isn't that a nun from her convent?
Oh, yes. It looks like their habit. Let's go and talk to her. Perhaps she can give us some news.
Excuse me, sister. You're from Nevers?
Yes.
You must know Bernadette. We're friends of hers. We wondered. We haven't heard for so long,
oh,
so...
Yes. Bernadette, Sister Marie Bernard, such a privilege. I was with her all those last months.
Last months? You mean Bernadette? She didn't...
Sister Marie Bernard died on the 16th of April last.
So the Virgin didn't cure her?
No. She knew she would never be cured. She said, "It's my job to be sick." She used to hold her crucifix to her and say, "On my sickbed with my crucifix, I'm as happy as a queen on a throne." And you know, there were a whole lot of holy pictures pinned round her bed, and she had them all taken down. The crucifix is enough, she said.
I wonder, did she ever think of Lourdes?
Oh, yes. She often spoke of it. The grotto. The lady. And you know, she was a little person. And she seemed to want to become even smaller. What was it she said? Ah, yes, a grain of wheat. I'm being crushed like a grain of wheat.
You've been listening to a play written by Jill Bevilacqua and produced by Sean Patrick Lovett. That's all from the English feature programme and from me, Linda Bordoni, today. But we will be back at this same time tomorrow, so join us then. You can also listen to our programmes on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. You're listening to Vatican Radio's English programme. Laudetur Jesus Christus.